हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
के पेज 18 अध्याय 3 अधिकरण 1 Realizations of Vyasadev in Trance. Srila Prabhupada comments the following in this regard. The present conditional state is due to the influence of the external energy, which means that the illusory energy takes the initiative while the Supreme Lord is aloof. Right? It means we have the interest, so then she takes the initiative to reciprocate that. It's all by Krishna's potent, means it's by his will. But the point is that she's taking the initiative. He stays aloof. He's not involved. He just sanctions. Right? The Lord does not desire that a living entity be illusioned by external energy. That he doesn't want, but the living entity wants. Therefore, he doesn't get involved. The illusory energy does. The external energy is aware of this fact, but she still accepts a thankless task of keeping the forgotten souls under illusion by her bewildering influence. The Lord does not interfere with the task of the illusory energy because such performances of the illusory energy are also necessary for reformation of the conditioned soul. Right? Because it's only when you deal with Maya, then you figure out Maya doesn't have anything to offer. Right? That's the whole point, because we think there's something there. So we have this idea that you're doing an activity that gets a result, and that result is producing happiness. But what's not seen is that, why is that working? Because the field of activities, the knowledge of that, the skill that's there, and then the activity and the results that are gained, those are all in support of pleasing Krishna, because it's Krishna's energies. But not seeing these energies connected to Krishna, you know, we're not worried about that. We just see that. Means we look at it, this happens, Krishna's happy. So we take it that it must be because of this knowledge and skills and the results gained from that. That's why he's happy. So then we think we can become happy from that. Right? But the difficulty comes up is that's not why Krishna's happy. He's happy because of the devotion. It's the relationship. Does that make sense? So that's the personal. The other, when it's taken without that connection there, then you're just working on the mechanics. That's the impersonal. So that's why we say that the impersonal and all these elements, and it's all that has that hostility towards the Lord, because it's not about the Lord as a person. It's not about his subjective perspective. Right? It's about our subjective perspective. Right? Does that make sense? So, now what Maya's doing is, okay, you think that by dealing with the secondary aspects, you'll be happy, so then she arranges that. Right? Because the internal potency is not going to do it. Because all those, they're all conscious. Right? And so then, they're not going to be one to be engaged other than what they're supposed to be. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, then therefore Maya does, because means all of her field that she works with is all unconscious, and then you can produce all the different bodies of knowledge, the situations, the endeavors that are made, results that are gained with all this unconscious matter. Then the living entity, then dealing with this unconscious matter, that if I use this knowledge in this situation, I get this result, I will be happy. But for Krishna, he's not becoming happy because of that at all. It's not because of the jnana and kriya shaktis and the results of that that's making him happy. It's the devotion that's being applied in the use of that that's making him happy. So, Therefore, then we go on with this illusion for a long time. So you can understand the eternality of the soul is that you can be an illusion for so long, right? So then one tries to appreciate that you're performing this activity, getting this result, and so that will make me happy. So it's just the situational aspect, the impersonal, that we say is making us happy. Right? In other words, people that are involved, it's only because they produce the secondary results, right? Work in the secondary field and produce the secondary results, that they are important in our lives. You understand? Well, with Krishna, it's the opposite. It's because they have the devotion that they're important. And of course, you're going to express that through the secondary. So we see there's a reversal. So it appears that it's similar. That's why we can relate to it. But at the same time, it doesn't give the results we want. So that's why it says, such performances of the illusory energy are also necessary for reformation of the conditioned soul. Because then with time, he starts to question, why aren't I being happy? I'm doing all the things. All the things I say will make me happy. I'm doing all the things that everybody else agrees will make you happy. And I'm not becoming happy, and nor is anybody else. Right? And of course, then you always put on your that front, that social front, that you are happy, everything's great. But at some point, you have to kind of look at it seriously, is that why isn't this working? Why aren't they happy? Right? So it appears that it takes millions and millions of lifetimes to come to that point. So then that option, yeah. So that's what she's doing. Then when we inquire, now that's what the soul is supposed to be doing. Right? And that inquiry, that's human life, but human life only becomes perfect when it's connected to the Supreme and connected to the Supreme in devotion. Does that make sense? So we inquire. But it should be on the human platform that you're inquiring about what's beyond. Right? Then in what's beyond, we're taking up this understanding of the spiritual. Is that what is the source of this? Why is this going on? So it's not that it's just spiritual. So that there's that the Lord's a person, we're individuals, and so that aspect of the relationship. Does that make sense? Right? And then seeing that, then having that devotion and that surrender to the Lord through serving the Vaishnavas. Right? That therefore, then now it comes to its proper stage. Right? Because human life means you're inquiring. You're following the Vedas in that inquiry. That's human life. But the perfection of human life is bhakti.
Right?
Yes.
Can we say that in both processes, going to Krishna and going from Krishna, what we did,
yes,
then coming back to Krishna, the first thing is our desire. So that's,
yes,
what starts the process.
Yes.
Both,
yes.
Both.
It's just a matter: is the desire connected to Krishna, or is the desire not connected to Krishna? Means, of course, we know that it always has to be connected to Krishna. But it means, is it connected to Krishna as a person, or is it connected to him in the impersonal? Mm-hmm. Right? Because he being everything, you can't not be connected. But as far as we're concerned, then we're not connected. Is that the truth? Yeah. So that, therefore, that's why we get the result of not being connected. Even though everybody is. Does that make sense? So it's on the intent. You know, it's just like with Narad Muni and I think Ravana. So when they met, somehow or another, then there was some discussion. I think Ravana wasn't very pleased or something. So then he pulled out his sword and tried to, you know, kill Narad Muni. You know, so he takes a sword and, you know, it goes right through him. And nothing happens. So he does that many, many times. Like that. And then it's like, who is this guy? And Narad Muni points out that he has a spiritual body, so there's no question that he, with his material sword, can do anything. Yeah, right? You know? So Hiranyakashipu is a bit bewildered by this. But he says, so you can't do anything. You haven't done anything. So from that platform, there's no wrong. But because you had the intent of trying to harm him, therefore then Narad Muni cursed him. I'm not sure which one of the, you know, 1,000 curses that he had or whatever it was is Narad Muni's. So there's one of the major curses. like that. So maybe his was he'd be killed by a human. No?
It's like the monkeys will destroy.
The monkeys will destroy.
But Nandi, it was monkeys will harass you.
Okay.
That's why Sugriva comes and spits at him. That was because of the Nandis.
Okay, Nandi, he'll spit on him. Yes. Okay. But the monkeys will come and destroy the place.
Because you're behaving like a monkey trying to harass me.
Okay, so then they'll come. Okay, so Hanuman came, destroyed the Ashoka garden. They came and... Okay.
She wanted actually Narada Muni to be his spiritual master, the status quo.
For?
For his status quo, like...
Oh, okay, yeah, because he's got the best spiritual master. Okay. Okay. Yes, so here it is. The inside news. Right? Yeah. An affectionate father does not like his children to be chastised by another agent, yet he puts his disobedient children under the custody of a severe man just to bring them to order. That means you don't like, but it's necessary. So that's the difficulty in the modern context. It's about you don't like, and so that's the authority. No, because then it's about our like. No, it's about what's the benefit. Does that make sense? You know, so that's what the... How the training is there, because you go to the school like that, or let's say you're being trained in business, you study under another member of the family. The son doesn't study business under his own father, not immediately, maybe a little bit when he's small, but when it's getting, you know, when he's first learning, he studies under another member of the family or friend like that, because they'll say things and be strict, right? You know, that's the whole point. And so then once it's there, now he can work with the father and all that, once he's been trained and find the fineness of the business and do all those different things. Does that make sense? So it's necessary. That's just how it is, because others will tell him as it is, even if they don't want to hear it. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, since the child has to learn things that they don't want to hear, you have to put up that you don't want them to go through that, but you put up with it. It matches. Right, but if you don't want them to hear and you don't won't tolerate that, they won't hear. So they don't get trained. So that's the whole point. So then Krishna wants them to be trained, but he doesn't like the idea that they have to go through and suffer. But at the same time, you know, so therefore he comes with them as the super soul. But at the same time, it's necessary, otherwise the living entities won't get reformed. Because you could say, no, but if we had all this nice, perfect in a spiritual world, of course, no, we were in the spiritual world. That's where the mistake is made. Not here. So we already have the spiritual form, spiritual environment. But we don't take advantage. So therefore we come here in an environment that you can be dealt with. Right? And so even if you're making mistakes, it doesn't matter. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like in training. You're given something that even if you make a mistake, it does not matter. So that's the material energy.
Right? When you speak about training, it's always like a personal relationship.
It's all, yes, yes.
And this is a way to counterize the impersonal tendency.
Yes, that yes. You see, the first thing in this spiritual process is accepting that shelter of the devotees. Yes. Right? You know, you have the spiritual master, you have the Vaishnavas, you have all the... That's the first thing. If that's there, everything else will work. So then we talk about all the other technical points, the nine processes and this. But those won't work unless one's taken shelter as Vaishnavas. Because it's in their association that service is done. Because for Krishna, who's going to just render service to him directly without anybody else? Right? It doesn't happen. So it's always about that association. You know what I'm saying? But the all-affectionate Almighty Father at the same time desires relief for the conditioned soul, relief from the clutches of illusory energy. The king puts the disobedient citizens within the walls of the jail, but sometimes the king, desiring the prisoner's relief, personally goes there and pleads for reformation. And on his doing so, the prisoners are set free. Similarly, the Supreme Lord descends from his kingdom upon kingdom upon the kingdom, from his kingdom upon the kingdom of illusory energy, and personally gives relief in the form of the Bhagavad Gita, when he personally suggests that although the ways of illusory energy are very stiff to overcome, one who surrenders unto his lotus feet, unto the lotus feet of the Lord, is set free by the order of the Supreme. Right? He comes and pleads this, that if you surrender to the Supreme, right, you'll get free. No, he's the one freeing, right? You know, but he's just coming and pleading on behalf. This surrendering process is the remedial measure for getting relief from the bewildering ways of the illusory energy. The surrendering process, so Maya's, reformation is that you give up the idea that you can enjoy from the material energy. That's what she can offer. But the actual remedy is surrendering to the Lord. Other things aren't going to do it. Right? By following these others, you give up the idea that you can be happy, you know, manipulating the material energy. You know, whatever the arrangement is. Dharma, Artha, Karma, or Moksha, whichever one or combination you think that by working with that you will be satisfied. You give that up. Right? Then you can take it up. So... the Lord has suggested, therefore, the surrendering process is completed by the influence of association. So you take that mood, you surrender, then that's completed by the influence of association. So you've taken up the idea to surrender from association, and that will be completed by association. So it's all about association. The Lord has suggested, therefore, that by the influence of the speeches of saintly persons who have actually realized the Supreme, men are engaged in His transcendental loving service. Right? So that's the importance that we're hearing, from the Acharyas. We're reading, what they means. The Bhagavatam is then spoken by these great personalities. That's compiled in that particular way by Vyasadeva, right? And what's the saying? Something about who's who, about the best, whoever. I don't even remember the phrase. It's something to do with, let's say, you're having a big party, like the celebrities and whoever, it's something to do with whoever's who. No, it's not who of who. But it's something to do with means of all the big celebrities, the best of those of the big celebrities, they're the ones that are there. The who's who. Yeah. Isn't it? The who's who. Yeah, the who's who. Yeah. Does that make sense? That one's like that. So, that's who's in the Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Right? And then who's speaking? Sukadeva Goswami, Sutta Goswami. It's compiled by Vyasadeva. It's commented on by all the Acharyas. Right? So this is that association. Then we hear that, we ourselves get together and try to discuss it and try to gain some enthusiasm for hearing about it. And so by being in that association, then it's everything is brought to that point of transcendental loving service. Right? That's how it works.
So Maharaj, if we stay connected with hearing and reading Bhagavatam and other books, okay.
That's why hearing and chanting is the most important, because that will produce remembering. You can only remember something that you know.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Can't see him anymore. Only the elephant you can still see.
But at least we can remember.
We can hear,
it's
yes.
It's not elephant.
Yeah, it's not an elephant. Yes. The conditioned soul gets a taste for hearing about the Lord, and by such hearing only, he is gradually elevated to the platform of respect, devotion, and attachment for the Lord. Right? So that respect means then you'll follow the rules. You have that devotion, so you're applying that, then that will develop attachment for the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? So that's how the process is working. We're taking up sadhana or vaidhi bhakti because of respect.
Yes.
respect the Lord, respect the rules, respect the Vaishnavas, respect the Shastra. So we're doing that. Then, with time, we do that, the heart becomes purified, and by that association, right? Why do we know that that's respectable from the Vaishnavas? Then we hear the devotion, so we take up the devotion because of that association. Then that will bring us to attachment. And that attachment then will come to its perfectional stage of prema, by association. The whole thing is completed by the surrendering process. Srimad Bhagavatam 175, purport. So we see the aspect of following, accepting what's favorable, rejecting what's unfavorable, that's because you respect what's proper, right? Then when you see Krishna is our maintainer, he is our protector, that'll bring to that level the devotion. And then you have that, we only identify as Krishna's service, and we have that mood of meek and humbleness, then that's the attachment to the Lord. Does that make sense? Well, all these are there all through, but we see there's a prominence. Right? The devotion's there in the beginning, attachment, but they're minimal compared to just that respect that this is God's law. That's why we're doing it. Then it comes to the point, we're doing this because this is devotional. When we have that devotion, then you come to the point because of the attachment. So,
Maharaj, in that approach, Prabhupada is extending all the philosophy.
Yes, everything is there. Okay. I mean, if you check, generally, every purport basically is doing that. But then some of them are very, you know, you have your very classic purports where it gives, you know, just so much of all these different aspects, you know, very clearly in that. Because the others, then you're having a line, they're building. Because, let's say, sometimes we don't always catch the storyline, let's say in the Bhagavatam, why it shifted from this to that. You know, this conversation, why he's talking about this. But if you see in the purports just naturally just blend one into the other. That's always going to have that stable development. And then there'll be generally sometimes at the beginning of the chapter, sometimes at the end of the chapter, sometimes in the middle of the chapter, there'll be a purport where Prabhupada will give these very, very clear instructions that apply to that situation that they're being used in the Bhagavatam, in the story, but they themselves on their own could stand as their own instruction. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the glory of the Bhaktivedanta purports. So, you know, just that specialness. Okay. Shamshaya, so a doubt. It was said that Maya is ashamed because she bewilders the jiva. How is that possible? Since Maya is insentient and is just a quality like enthusiasm. Right? So here they're taking the insentient, that they're taking qualities. So this is the fun part, is because generally qualities are illusions. So then why would they say, that she's, you know, is illusory, she's insentient like this, has qualities, but then after this, then they'll try to say that there's no qualities. You know what I'm saying? So that's why we see here is that there's no consistency in their philosophy. It's just whatever, according to the particular modes, makes that philosophy. They'll move around within those modes. So it'll track people within that mode. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's just a quality like enthusiasm. Uttara. It is concluded in scripture that Maya has a controlling deity. This is similar to the deities which control mountains like the Vindhyas. Right? So you have the thing, like you have the thunder, you have the rain, the clouds, you have lightning, but there's Indra. So even though the external energy is made up of inferior energy, there's still a deity that is the personification of that. And so when we talk about the personal aspect, we're talking about that deity. Just like when we say, you know, water knows, you know, the fire knows, and like this, we're meaning Varuna, we're meaning Agni, right? Because the material that they're working through, that being external, is unconscious. There is a story about Maya in Kena Upanishad, starting with Brahma Ha Deve Pyo Viji Ye. Brahman desired victory for the Devatas. Kena Upanishad 3.1. Paramatma, seeing the pride of Agni, Vayu, and Indra, appeared in order to curb their pride. Not recognizing him, they began to question among themselves. The Lord tested their power by holding a blade of grass. Agni, who said he could burn anything, could not burn it. And Vayu, who said he could take up anything, could not take up the straw. It means by his wind, he can pick up anything. Right? Couldn't pick up the straw. To understand the powers of Indra, the Lord disappeared. Indra approached Uma, Maya, in the sky and asked, Who is that? She said, that is Brahma. Right?
So.
Yeah, so she knows. Yeah, so the point is it's bringing out here, here's the new Upanishads, because that, so therefore, Maya, she's a person that's being brought. So in the Upanishads, it said they have to accept, if they're Mayavadis, they have to accept the Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads. Anucheda 34. That the jiva, though a conscious entity, is different from the Lord is shown in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7, 4, and 5. Maya takes shelter behind the Lord and she bewilders the jiva. Anucheda Prakashika, taking from Sri Jiva, Toshayi. Right? Toshayi. In his trance, Srila Vyasadeva saw that although the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the supporter for Maya, she has no influence over him. This is significant. This is the significance of the word apa ashriyam. The prefix apa means away and inferior. She is away from the Lord because she is not one of his internal energies. She is inferior to him, being unable to influence him. Right? So his internal potencies are equal with him because they can influence him. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. With devotion. Yeah. But the external, she can't. But she's a transformation of the internal, so she still, it's not that she's not, has that quality, but she's only non-different from Krishna as being non-different from his internal potency. Right? Okay. Being an aspect. Let's say a feature of the internal potency. Yet she is not independent of him, therefore she has been compared to a maidservant. Her being ashamed to appear in front of the Lord indicates that she is inferior to him and his internal potencies. Nevertheless, as the word yaya samohita indicates, Maya exercises her influence over the jiva. Being part and parcel of God, the jiva is conscious by nature, yet he is not powerful like God. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is unlimitedly powerful, but the jiva is limited in energy. The Lord is the controller of Maya. But she controls the limited jiva when she is not united with the personality of Godhead. When he is not united with the personality of Godhead in Bhakti Yoga. Just as a drop of water apart from the ocean is absorbed into the earth and loses its original identity, but not its existence. So the living entity, when separated from the Lord, becomes forgetful of his nature and is absorbed in illusion. The Supreme Lord, however, is never affected by illusion. Thus, jivas are distinct from the Lord, although qualitatively the same in some respects. Baladeva Vibhushan. Mayam cha tad apa shrayam shows that Maya is controlled by the Lord. Yaya samohito jiva shows that the jiva is controlled by Maya. This shows that the jiva is different from the Lord. It is said in the verse that Vyas saw apashyat maya. This implies time. Footnote 8. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan comments that besides seeing the personality of Godhead maya and the jiva, Srila Vyasadeva also saw the time energy as indicated by the word apashyat or saw. Because karma means action and verbs like apashyat, saw, samohita, bewildered, and manute, consider, all indicate action, which in turn indicates the presence of time. Right? So without time, you can't do something. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the you have knowledge, you have facility, you have skill, you have opportunity, but if there's no time, nothing happens. So you only see things because of time. There's only transformation because of time. There's only perception because of time. Does that make sense? Thus, Vyasa, in Samadhi, saw four tattvas, the Lord, the Jiva, Maya, and time. These four are eternal. Atta, ha, vava, nityani, purusha, prakritir, atma, kalaha. The Lord, Prakriti, and Jiva, and time are eternal. Balaveya, shruti. Nitya, nityanam, chetanas, chetananam. Eko bahunam yo vidhati kaman. The Lord is the chief eternal and the chief consciousness. He is the one Lord who fulfills the desires of many. Tattu Upanishad 2.2.13. One unborn entity, satisfied, follows another unborn entity. A female entity who is red, white, and black, who produces many offspring of similar nature. Another male gives up this female who has enjoyed. Svetasuftar Upanishad 4.5.
This one is in the Vedanta Sutras.
Yes. Yes, so the one living entity is conditioned. He follows then Maya, because red, white, and black means the modes of nature. And then from that, so many offspring are there, so many desires, so many situations, so much entanglement is there. But another male who is, you know, has that mood of enjoyment, another conditioned living entity gives that up. Right? And so one becomes free, one is entangled. Avikaraya, Shudhaya, Nityaya, Paramatmane, Sadaika Rupa, Rupaya, Vishnave, Sarva, Jishnave. I offer respects to the Lord, Vishnu, who is without change, pure, eternal, who is always in one form, and who conquers all things. Vishnu Purana 1.2.1. By his will, the Lord enters Pradhan, which is subject to change, and also enters the Jiva, not subject to change, and agitates them at the time of creation. Vishnu Purana 1.2.29. So then the time element is there, and then by that then everything starts to happen. It is only because of time having entered, then we see that the material energy is transforming. You get the avyakta. Right? So the 24 elements are there because of time. Right? Now to make that viable, because as it is, that then can't be used by the living entities. You can't do anything with it, even though time is there. It's still the Lord that holds everything together. So the Lord has to enter that, and then everything can hold together. You can make things. And so now then that what has been made from that by those primordial demigods, by the Lord entering, and by the influence of the ignorance that's there, the false ego that comes with that glance also, then you get sutra, you get the Mahatattva. So now you have that primary creation in which the living entities have desire to enjoy. Right? So that's then what they have here. So the Lord agitates through time. Yes.
It says that Pradhan is changing and the Jiva is not subject to change.
Yes.
In what sense?
The Jiva, because the Jiva itself is not subject to change. The Jiva just identifies with that which is changing. No, but the elements are the same. Means you can say it's changing because it's going from inert and homogeneous to being individual, and then combinations of those, and then all the transformations of those. But that never happens with the Jiva. The Jiva, the nature of the Jiva, that stays the same all the time. It never transforms. The consciousness, we identify with that which is transforming. It's just like, let us say you're sitting and watching a drama. Okay? So, you're the same. You're just sitting there. It's the drama that is changing. But because you're identifying with the drama, therefore you have all the feelings and this and that that are going along with that drama. Does that make sense?
That's what you understand.
Yes, but your position is the same. So what's not understood then?
Why is Pradhan without the change in this?
It says the Pradhan is changing.
Changing, yeah.
It's subject to change.
But Padan has its position, Avyakta has its position, and Sutra has its position.
Yes.
So in this sense, they should be without subject to change, because Pradhan will always be Pradhan.
No, but the point is Pradhan can transform to become Avyakta and Sutra.
It means that at that moment Pradhan disappears as such? And then it disappears as such? Pradhan does not exist?
It means Pradhan's always there as a principle, but you're not seeing it. It's because it's transforming, you don't. Then it goes back into its natural state.
So, I thought in this sense, the jiva does the same.
No, because the jiva never changes. It's a covering on the jiva that's changing. The jiva doesn't change. But the material energy is transforming from that pradhan to avyakta to mahatattva, and then into the secondary creation, and then that constant transformation under the modes of nature. Like that. It's actually, you know what I'm saying? Means that, like, this floor is actually made of earth, but it's a particular transformation. But the jiva doesn't change. It's always the same.
So can we say it's because it has a spiritual nature and Pradhan has material?
In this relationship, you could say that. Because the jiva in the material world is always, it's about its spiritual position. It's always in a liberated position, though by consciousness it's not identifying that. But the material energy is transforming by the Lord's will through His potency. This is by His will, and because he glances because of His interaction. Therefore, then there's the transformation. Otherwise, then she just stays as Pradhan. Like that. So, yes, it would be in that context of here, because all these are in context of the living entity's relationship with the material world. Because then when we're talking about the spiritual world, that'll be based on prema. So the transformations that take there aren't a problem, because here, what's the problem? Why is it temporary? Something is temporary. Why?
Because of its nature.
Its nature, but what is it that means we're seeing something that's temporary? Right? So that temporary nature is then adjusting until it changes to something else or is no more. So what causes that effect for us that we see that and we're absorbed in that? Yes. And that comes from? Means if we have the desire to enjoy, what is our consciousness in relationship to the Lord? Means yes. So, but are we remembering the Lord or forgetful?
Forgetful.
Yes. So, because we're forgetful of the Lord, in this transformation of material energy, we don't see the Lord. So that's why it's temporary. That's why it's transforming. Right. But now, let us say you take the liberated soul, and they're seeing the same material energy, the same situation. They understand it's transforming, but by the will of the Lord. And so the energy stays the same. It just transforms in different ways, but it's still the same thing. Does that make sense? So they see it in relationship to the Lord, therefore they're unaffected by this transformation of the energy. Does that make sense? While the conditioned souls, they have a problem. Does that make sense? Because they don't see. So in the spiritual world, the energies are the same; they're eternal. And even though they may be seemingly there's variety, but because that variety is all seen in connection with the Lord, there's no effect of material effect of the temporariness. It's just varieties of. The present and the Lord, is always present, so then you always see it connected. Does that make sense? So there's a difference in taste, because the one you're seeing connected to the Lord, then you're working on the eternal platform, even though the variety is going on and seemingly it's temporary. But it's not, because it's eternal. While here, it's also eternally going on, because it mentioned there that all these are the Lord, Prakriti, Jiva, and time are eternal. So they're eternal, but because we don't see it in connection with the Lord, we don't see it in connection with Sat, therefore the effect it has is Asat. Therefore we suffer. Does that make sense?
Sri Maharaj, when Vyasadeva saw these four tattvas, it means he saw them as they are without conditioning.
Yes, as they are without conditioning. That's why then he composed Srimad Bhagavatam, that is a presentation without a consideration of the modes of nature.
Yes.
Well, the other Puranas are considering the modes of the audience. Well, Srimad Bhagavatam is written for the Paramahamsa, for the soul.
Yes.
So anybody who associates with it starts to take on that quality.
Yes.
Like that. So that will be the difference. That's why the explanation in the Bhagavatam is, it would be different than others.
Yes.
What you see, if you have the Bhagavatam understanding, you'll see that all the other literature support that.
Yes.
But if you don't, because of the nature of what they're working in the various secondary aspects, then you're going to see contradictions and differences.
Yes.
Right? Because you can't appreciate variety connected to the Lord, because we're looking at variety not connected to the Lord, so the temporary. So then we say it's contradictory.
Yes.
But if we see variety connected to the Lord, then what's the problem?
Yes.
The best of sages say that Prakriti, subtle and eternal, composed of cause and effect, is called Avyakta, Karana, and Pradhan. Vishnu Purana 1:2:19. So here seems to be another also. Avyakta. Pradhan, we know Avyakta, and then Karana seems to be another term for Mahatattva. Because that means where everything's happening. Your cause. Sorry? Yeah. So, because these three aspects are there. And you can use any one of them to mean any of the other. You can say what we're dealing with here is Pradhan. Right? Because that's it's based on that. But it's just a matter of which one you want to bring out, then you bring out that. But here it's also interesting, Karana, so then you have another.
Who came across the
Vedanta Sutra? Okay, so that means, Mahatattva means it's the great tattva, everything's there, it's all together, it's all happening, it's ready to, how you say, ready to use. Like that. You know, sutra means it's that desire of the living entity to use it. You know, and Karana, then does it bring out a particular aspect?
It is the original cause.
It's the original cause. So what's behind it means that it's all coming from the ears. Because you desire, then she takes that initiative. So in other words, it's the situation, the complete situation, the desire that the living entity has, and the initiative of the material energy to reciprocate with the living entity based on desire. Right? So that three features of, like Pradhan generally, that just Pradhan is Pradhan. Right? And Avyakta is Avyakta. But sometimes we'll see Avyakta can be applied to Pradhan, and sometimes Avyakta is applied to Mahatattva. Like that. Because of the subtle nature. Because we say primary creation is not manifest, so you can say Avyakta also to mean that. But otherwise, if you're making the three, then it'll have these three stages. But depending on what you want, they may mention one, they may mention two, and so there'll be all overlapping definitions. Only if they're mentioning three, then the definitions are completely separate. Right? Does that make sense? And then we see within Mahatattva, you have three elements.
Mahat, if we develop personal approach of
yes.
all this philosophy.
Yes.
It makes more sense.
Yes, it makes more sense. That's where it makes sense. That's why it's said that for the Rag Bhakta, by just that attraction and attachment to the Lord, they actually understand all these truths
yes.
because they see the person.
Yes.
And from the person, all this makes sense.
Yes.
Well, if we don't see the person,
yes.
then we have to learn it by going step by step. You know, in other words, learning the Dasa Mool step by step and going through that is because we don't have that spontaneous attraction. And so then we have to learn that to understand what's the nature of Krishna, what's the nature of of the living entity, what's their relationship, what's the results. Because we don't understand that. Because of the impersonal kind of aspect. But when one becomes spontaneously attracted to the Lord, then they know. That's why it says the Uttamadikar, you can't defeat them in argument, because they see the Lord. It doesn't matter what you say, how logical you are, how smart you are, you're not seeing. So they can see that. They can see that. They can see where it's not connected to the Lord. So that's why they don't have to be a great grammarian or logician to defeat anyone in argument. Because no matter how nicely you are logical, you will make a mistake because you don't see things as they are. And they do. So they will all, that's why it says you can't. While over the Madhyama, then he has that more advanced, so he knows some more, but you know, it may be limited on how he's able to defeat because he doesn't fully see it from the that Krishna subjective position. Right? So generally you always see, but even if he doesn't, he has that faith, so you can't disturb his faith. You know, even if you come up with an argument that you couldn't answer, it doesn't create a doubt in you. You just think, okay, well, how to answer this? And then you'll think, talk to others, and then they'll point, oh yeah, okay, and then next time you're ready for it. But the neophyte, they might be bewildered because someone else defeated them in argument, then they might have a doubt.
Yes.
So that's how you see, that's the levels by faith. So when you have that faith in the Lord, that one-pointed faith, then there is nothing else. So everything is always in connection with the Lord. And what they're explaining is always not in connection with the Lord. So you can see the fault based on this lack of connection. So you just explain the connection. Does that make sense? So that's why as you advance in devotional service, this makes more sense. It's not that by the process of knowledge I'm learning more. You understand? It's by the process of devotional service, Krishna is revealing more about himself. Does that make sense? That's the difference. There is no end for the Lord and time which have no beginning. The two are continuous and control creation, maintenance, and destruction. Vishnu Purana 1.2.26. Right, so time, the Lord is eternal, so he's unaffected, and time is eternal. We may have material time, how time affects the material world, just like Krishna has his Vishwaroop, like that. But still, they're beyond, they're original. Because in the spiritual world, there is the time is eternal, therefore there's no past and present. Only in the material context, then it takes on that flavor of past and present. But it doesn't make sense for the soul, because the soul functions with past or future as if they're the present. So you have to actually point out to somebody that it's different. Because here, because if it's not seen connected to the Lord, it the effect is as if they're different. Among them, the Lord, possessor of Shaktis, is independent. The Jiva, Prakriti, and time, which are his Shaktis, are dependent. Right? So time is a Shakti. So it's right? Yeah. Right, so the Prakriti will be connected with the Jnana. The time will be connected with Kriya. Right? And then now the Jiva can take part in that connection with the Prakriti and time, either on the spiritual platform, by connecting it to Krishna, or see it not connected to Krishna, and try to deal with Prakriti and time, and that puts them in Maya, under the influence of Maya.
Yes.
Right, so the Jiva has that choice.
Yes. Yes.
The Lord has a superior energy, another energy called the Jiva, and a third energy, the material energy, called Avidya, karma. Vishnu Purana 6761. Right? So, the Jiva is the superior energy of the two because of the spiritual nature. While the material energy is inferior, it doesn't mean because she's inferior she's not more powerful. You know what I'm saying? Yes, yeah, superior energy, another energy called the Jiva, okay. Superior energy, the internal, another energy called the Jiva, it's the Tasta, and a third energy, the external energy. The material energy, called Avidya Karma. Okay, so he's mentioning those two. Thank you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's just like it's intelligent, because we think, oh, it's inferior, it doesn't matter. It's just like, let's say you have someone, let's say he's of superior intellect, and you know, your you're dealing in an environment of intellect. And then you have another guy who, let's say, he is, you know, one of the very large, you know, physically very large persons who is very expert on one of the more physical, you know, how you say, manifestations of sports. Right? Does that make sense? So, even though in the intellectual he's inferior, it doesn't mean you give him trouble. Like that. Unless you want him to pick you up like the rugby ball and run you across the field. Yes. Yes, that's why the first point it mentions is respect.
Yes.
You have to respect, because it's Krishna's energy. You have to respect him. You have to respect the jivas, the external energy, the internal potency, the Lord. You have to respect all those. Respecting all these aspects, then you can take up devotion. And that'll, yes.
Can you say that all the cultures, they fall when there's no respect?
Yes. What you generally see is that means that comes is that they get into sense gratification. Because generally you can say is that when there's control of the senses, why is that? Because there's respect of some rules. There's respect of something higher, superior. And you see every culture that loses that respect, it falls. Right? I mean, see, the Western Roman Empire, when it got into just sense gratification, that's when it fell. But the Eastern Empire lasted another 1,000 years. What's the history of that, why it fell, I can't say. But you also see, it's like the Ottoman Empire was so great, but then when they just got into sense gratification, they fell. Right? And that's why then the reaction to it is that, oh, everyone has to be so strict. Like this. Does that make sense? So you see that this happens. When they get absorbed in sense gratification, that's when it falls. So there's lack of respect for rules, lack of respect for authority. You know, if they do follow it, it's only just enough to make the sense gratification work. Only because if you don't respect them, you'll get trouble, you can't enjoy it. Oh, that's the only reason you respect. Well, they got to that position by respecting because it should be respected. Is that... Yeah. So yes, respect is your... That's why the first thing is accepting the spiritual master and accepting that respect for the association of the devotees. So...
Can we see also the connection with appreciation?
Yes. Yeah, we'll appreciate, then we'll respect.
Because this is the first rasa.
Yes. Right? Well, you appreciate, yes, you can say that. But you see is that it's static.
Yes.
So only then when there's sense of possession, then they'll be active. So let's say the living entity meets the devotees. Mm-hmm. Then while they behave, how they interact and this, there's appreciation.
Yes.
That appreciation is continued, then it will turn into that respect.
Yes.
And then, once to follow what they're doing, so one will take up that devotion.
Yes.
Right? And that following the devotion, as you become purified, then there'll be attachment. Is that... Yeah. Krishna is always aware of the distress on earth. For as long as the source of all forms of the Lord remains visible on earth to diminish its burden, all of you demigods should appear as sons and grandsons along with his eternal associates in the family of the Yadus by his energy of time. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.1.22. So, they've gone to the Lord and it's been made aware that Brahma says he's already aware of this. So, all of you, means all the devatas, they should appear as sons and grandsons along with the eternal associates. So in other words, they're not the eternal associates. They're appearing with the eternal associates. Right? And so by that, then they'll perform nice pastimes. Because the demigods, they don't know fully how to behave with the Lord. They know the etiquettes and all that, but they don't have the attitude. It's not that the demigods necessarily... The behavior, the qualities, and the functions that they do are going to be displeasing by the form and all that. It's just not going to be pleasing because it doesn't have the attitude of devotion like the eternal associates. So when these demigods appear as the Yadus, then in the association of the eternal associates, then they'll catch that mood of devotion and then they'll advance in their devotion. Is that what you're saying?
Maharaj, when he said here, is eternal associate, means Krishna is eternal associate.
Krishna's eternal associates. Because when he, it's like this, every time he comes down, because I mentioned before, I was bringing that point of very much so you see that he descends. Where was that one? I don't remember where it was. It was but very specifically Prabhupada used the term. Yes. Similarly, the Supreme Lord descends from His kingdom upon the kingdom of illusory energy. So upon means it's from above.
Yes.
You know.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So He's coming from His kingdom, descends down to on the material energy. So He's performing His pastimes there, but He's doing that with His internal potency. So then He's always with His internal potency. Right? So whenever He descends, He comes with the eternal associates. Then all these demigods that will appear as the sons and grandsons, they're always different every time. It's whoever happens to be the demigods at that time, they're the ones that do this. But who He descends with are all His eternal associates. Does that make sense? Yeah. The Lord is the all-powerful conscious entity, and the jiva is a minute conscious entity. Both have the quality of eternal knowledge. Maya is insentient matter, endowed with three gunas. Time is insentient substance, devoid of three gunas. The cause of using expressions concerning past, present, and future. Karma has no beginning, but is liable to destruction. Right? So he's giving the definitions of this. Right? Karma has no beginning because it starts within the spiritual nature. So there is no time. It starts within the position of eternal, so it doesn't have a beginning. Right? At the same time, as it does have an end.
Srila Prabhupada is speaking the same suffix in the introduction to Gita.
Yes. It's all the same. Because these are the main topics. So that's what we're saying, is that philosophy, there is no more philosophy than in Gita. It's just giving deeper and deeper understandings, finer and finer points. But there isn't more technical points than in Gita. Just depending upon what it is, because you are trying to establish a philosophy, then this element of rasa won't be as prominent there.
Yes.
But Bhagavatam, then Dasamul, then it'll be fully manifest. But it's not that the Gita doesn't have it, it's just that it won't, the prominence of verses won't be on that. Okay. So. Yeah, so Maya is endowed with the three gunas, is insentient. Time is insentient without the three gunas. But because of that, it causes the expressions of past, present, and future. So it matches those in the gunas they see according to past, present, and future, though time doesn't have any gunas. Like that. And this is then what we call material time. That'll be a transformation of the eternal spiritual time. So time's eternal. Just like the manifestation of the material energy, that'll be temporary, but pradhan is eternal. So time's eternal, but that transformation of the insentient time that has the expressions of past, present, and future, that will be manifest as the creations manifest, and then it'll go back to the original time. Right? So that's why they say is all these are eternal. Only the karma is liable to destruction. So these five elements, the Lord is there, right? The Lord, the jiva, the material energy, time, and karma. So karma is the only one that will stop. The others will be there, and they'll be in their natural state. It means Krishna is always in his natural state. But the jiva will take on his unconditional state. He'll be working with the internal energy, and he'll be working with eternal time. Nakarma vibhagad iti chen nana ditvat. If you argue that in the beginning there was no division of time, the answer is no, since karmas are without beginning. Brahma Sutra 2.135. The nature of existing substances or vastu should be known from Shruti and Smriti. But we have to know because it's beyond. See, if we're intelligent, we'll accept that we have to accept Shastra. We have to mean, and that Shastra means it's given by those who are beyond. Right? So it's given by the Lord as Apurusheya, and it's given by those themselves who are liberated. So they're unaffected. And what they speak is also given by the Lord, so what they're speaking is also Apurusheya, because they're speaking on behalf of the Lord as a mouthpiece. Right? And what they're talking about is transcendence, which is eternal. Like that. So, if we're intelligent, we know we cannot know things by our intelligence. If you're still thinking that I can learn by my intelligence, means we haven't matured that as enough. Like that. When we accept that, then that's when we get to the actual point. Because an animal, does he know what's beyond? What's the cause of things? No. If there's something they don't know about, what do? It's something new. Let's say they have their area where they stay, and then you put something new there. What do? Yeah, they go up and smell it. They first see, you know, get, watch it, that it's not going to jump at them, and that when they figure that, then they go up. And ultimately, they come and smell it, because by smelling it, that will be the authority for everything. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. When we go beyond this animal tendency towards accepting Shruti and Smriti, that's when we take up human life. Does that make sense? Yeah. Vritti. In the next 8th Anucheda, Srila Jiva Goswami shows that Sri Vyasa's experience was contrary to the popular monistic philosophy of Sri Shankaracharya. Right? So, and yes. There's some amazingly, but true, it was contrary. So, yeah, how you say? Maybe Shankaracharya was leading us down a false path. Anucheda 35. It is illogical to say. It'd probably be good also here when you put next 8 Anuchedas and put in brackets 35 through. You know? Just so that it clicks, so then when you go through you get to it. Because otherwise you go 2 or 3 and when is this ending? But you're, oh yeah, it goes until 43, right? You know, done. Anucheda 35. It is illogical to say that the same Brahman, or consciousness, which becomes endowed with vidya, knowledge, when giving shelter to maya, becoming Ishvara, then becomes overpowered by avidya, ignorance, when subject to maya as jiva. Right? So what we're saying is that Brahman, right, is endowed with vidya, knowledge, when giving shelter to maya, you know, as, you know, then as Ishvara. You know, so you have the Brahman, then having knowledge, then it gives shelter to maya, so it becomes Ishvara, then becomes overpowered by avidya, and then being it now is subject to maya, then becomes the jiva. Right? This is you know, their logical sequence. Brahman is there on its own, minding its own business. Then somehow the knowledge comes along. Where that comes along, that we don't know. Then it gives shelter to maya. Yeah. And by giving shelter...
Where is she coming from?
Yeah, where that gives shelter to maya. Where is she coming from? Then he becomes Ishvara, because before that he wasn't. He was just Brahman. Now he becomes influenced by and controlled by, overcome by maya. So therefore then avidya, you know, just like the knowledge came, now he becomes the jiva. Yeah. Like that. And these are your scholars. Yes. So that's the whole point. Unless you understand devotional service, you don't know how to go beyond this. Because otherwise it'll make sense. You know, oh yeah, right. You know, hey, let's make a movie. You know?
It's a marriage life.
Sorry?
It's like a marriage life. Somebody comes over.
Yeah. Yeah, makes sense, yeah.
At least one good thing, they gave the positive aspect to the Ishvara and negative aspect
to the jiva, yeah. But that's yeah, but that's the whole point, is why you want to do that, because now we're jiva, we're in the negative. Yeah. We want to come to the positive as Ishvara.
We have the weak thing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because it's there, as I mentioned, like in family life, is that because you have the aspect of whatever's in the causes and the effect, So therefore, you're going to see it on that greater scale and on the finer scale. But the point is here, is what they can't see is what's beyond the mundane. Because this will only make sense with material consciousness. So as you actually understand the Lord, then this doesn't happen. Right? Because the point is, vidya's always been there. Avidya's always been there. Maya's always been there. The jivas have always been there. But when the jiva then thinks he, when the jiva then due to ignorance becomes Ishwara, then that's when now he's under the control of Maya. So there's a slight little adjustment you have to make like that. So that's again where we go back to the garden, and that when he gets the knowledge, that's when all the problems start.
Yes.
Yes. How would you say? Talmudic Vedanta. Yes. It is understood that there is a difference between Ishwara and Jiva. From the verses quoted from Bhagavatam, it is understood that the Swarups of Ishwara and Jiva are different, being different in the abilities of their Swarups. Right? So there's a difference there. While Shankara is trying to point out there's no difference, so we can become Ishwara.
Yes.
Right? So this is what he means by he's bewildering the Buddhists, because this philosophy doesn't make any sense. But because it's presented, you know, in a logical progression, though it's not logical itself, the whole concept, so then they become bewildered and then take up the Mayavad philosophy and come back into the fold of the Vedic culture. You know, because if they accept, because then they'll accept Shruti and Smriti. Right? As we see, as that was the last point being made. They'll accept the Vastu should be known from Shruti and Smriti. Right? What's of substance. So then knowing that, now they can do it. So now you have a chance to get them to accept the actual Vaishnav understanding. Because before, because of material attachment, they could not understand at all. Right? So then you take them out of that, so they give that up, what's getting in the way. Now you're bringing them back again. So that's what Shankara's business. You understand? So that's why he's doing this. But it's not that it's actually meant as a philosophy of importance. In other words, let's say, if someone is crazy, then you could say, by going to a psychiatrist, it could help bring them to the point where they're neutral, or what the contemporary environment would consider not crazy, right? But to take them from crazy, I mean from that neutral to positive, that they cannot do. It's not within the context of their knowledge, because that's not what they're doing. They have not studied what's normal, because they don't know what's normal, right? So you can do that, and then now by associating with someone who's normal, bring you to that normal point. Right? Because if the psychiatrists are normal, why is the suicide rate so high? Right? Right? In other words, the suicide rate of psychiatrists is higher than that of crazy people. So, you know.
Association?
Huh? Yeah.
They get a lot of bad association.
Yeah, but who's the bad association? Are you sure? Because the patient doesn't kill themselves. So, but now let's look at it from another angle here. Let's not get into this too much. is that from another angle, now Prabhupada mentions in the Gita, by chanting Om, the crazy person can come to normal. And then from that normal point, then come to the positive. So just by devotional service, you can do the whole thing. You don't require this other aspect. But because you're dealing with materialists who want to work on this mechanical platform, therefore we go through the mechanical process of being there, then turning into, you know, gross, karmis, being distracted from the Vedas, becoming Buddhists, then from Buddhists being distracted, you know, back into the Vedic culture as Shankarites, and then from there back into Vaishnavism, you know, by those who are more, more thoughtful by Ramanujacharya, those who are less thoughtful than by Madhvacharya coming along with his club, and then like that, then now they're ready for Lord Chaitanya and his mission. Right? So then it works very nicely. So it can be done that by devotional service you can take anyone in any position and bring them to the same position and to the devotional position. So it's not that it's required. Does that make sense?
Well, this is important to teaching.
It is.
It saves everyone.
Yeah, because saving means devotional.
Yes.
Yeah, not crazy. Because it's just one crazy for another. As I mentioned, one devotee is medical student. And in part of the internship, because it's part of the thing you do your 4 years or whatever it is, then you have to do a certain amount of time, an intern, and you're studying certain things like that. So during that, they have one module, I think it was 3 months or 6 months or something, where they deal with psychiatrists. They go to the insane asylum, deal with that, and see the medicine, because they should know all these things, because after you deal with this wide range, then you specialize, right? So then he's going in every day. He's riding on the metro, you know, to the place where he's the insane asylum, and working with the guys there, and then driving back. So as he's getting training, he starts to be able to recognize insanity. He starts to notice that the people on the train, all of the people on the train, all have subtle, symptoms of insanity. Just the only difference is they're able to keep it in control and not let it go beyond, right? While the ones in the insane asylum were the ones that couldn't control them. And he said that was quite a shock when he saw that everybody's crazy, you know, because Prabhupada mentions that, everybody's crazy, you know, like that. So then he actually had a, because I think at that time he was also, he had taken up, started devotional service. But, you know, it's just almost finished, so he finished his degree and then just moved into the temple.
They say that everybody's crazy, but some are being caught.
Yeah, same like the criminals. Everyone's criminal, and some have been caught. Like the politicians, who's been caught, who has not been caught. Somehow or other, they always catch them in Japan. I don't know why Japan, but always in Japan. Okay, Anucheda Prakashika from Sri Jiva Toshai. Srila Jiva Goswami has analyzed the trance of Srila Vyasadeva and drawn the proper conclusions. Now, based on the same analysis, he gives arguments against the Mayavad theory of absolute oneness between God and the Jiva. Right? Because you see them all, you see their natural position and what is there, but you also now want to remove any misunderstandings of the position. Right? So that's why it says vidyam cha, vidyam cha. Is that you're learning knowledge and ignorance together.
Yes.
Because the point is, you're learning knowledge, that's the important, it's about Krishna, but you learn ignorance so that you don't get bewildered by ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to learn that ignorance in connection with knowledge. If you just learn ignorance on its own, then it will act like ignorance. But when you learn ignorance in connection with knowledge, it doesn't act as ignorance. You know, it's like, probably gives the example of the snake with the fangs removed. The snake may be still poisonous, but there's no way it can inject the poison into you. Right? So, the impersonalists headed by Shankara base their tenets on Vedanta Sutra and 11 principal Upanishads and try to support their conclusions. But Jiva Goswami contends that their interpretation is not in agreement with the trance of Srila Vyasadeva, as narrated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the essence of the Upanishads, Vedanta, and the Puranas. Right? So they're giving their knowledge on Vedanta Sutra and the Upanishads. Right? But we'll see is that what their interpretation is not in agreement with the trance of Vyasadeva given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the natural commentary and essence of the Upanishads, Vedanta, and the Quran. Here, to counter the Mayavad philosophy, Srila Jiva Goswami begins establishing the essential distinctions between Jiva and Ishvara. His first point is that it is evident from Vyasa's trance that only the Jiva is controlled by Maya and not the Lord. Rather, Maya is dependent upon him and controlled by him. Right? Because that's the definition of Ishvara. They are also accepting that. Problem is because they don't make the distinction, then Ishvara then becomes controlled and becomes Jiva. The same Brahman cannot be the controller as well as the controlled. Right? Because otherwise, if he's done that, how is he still Brahman? How is he still the Ishvara? How is, you know, it doesn't make sense. Because ignorance and knowledge cannot exist in one Brahman simultaneously, just as light and darkness cannot occupy the same space. Okay? The capacities and qualities of the Jiva and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are different, and the difference is not caused by Maya. That's the whole point. They're trying to say it's caused by Maya. By constitution, the Jiva is atomic in size and thus vulnerable to the influence of Maya when he is disassociated from the Lord. If you're associated with the Lord, then it doesn't matter your size, then you will be in connection with, you will not be influenced. But if not, then it matters. But he can free himself from the shackles of Maya by surrendering to the Lord. This was Srila Vyasa's experience, right? So because of that, that's why Bhagavatam's all about the devotion to the Lord. While the other ones were showing how to take varnashram and religion and connect it and elevate yourself and go through the various methods. What are all the various ways through the Vedic system you can elevate yourself and get back to Godhead? So you can do it this way, that way, and all this and that. But now by his realization, then he understood as no, when the Jiva connects themselves to the Lord, that's what takes you out. These other ones, because ultimately they all have to do that anyway. So that you don't need to do all those. You just engage in devotional service. And those elements of those other religious processes that are supportive of devotional service, they're useful for, then they're used. But otherwise, they're only used because of that. They're not used because they themselves will elevate you back, you know, to the transcendental position. So then, that's why Bhagavatam, then the focus is different. And now if you understand that and then see any other scripture, then you can see it in relationship to Krishna. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.